Here are some practical suggestions for you to overcome laziness. I'm going to give you 5, okay? These are easy. This isn't difficult.
Thanks for being with us on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. And today, Don concludes his message titled, Overcoming the Sin of Laziness. Last time, Don gave us the first of 4 considerations about the subject. We need to consider the Word of God and the world of nature. Both point us to the rightness of work and the sin of laziness. If an ant doesn't store food for the winter, it'll starve. Likewise, the Bible says, if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. Today, Don will offer the final 2 considerations, and he'll also throw in 5 practical suggestions to help overcome laziness. Have your Bible handy as we join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
Now, 3rd point, consider the warning against laziness. Consider the warning against laziness. And young people, let me just remind you here in the middle at the hinge of my message, 1st and 2nd points are done, 3rd and 4th points to come. Young people, please remember that I am on your side as I say these things to you. I don't know anything about what you're like inside your homes except for my own kids, and I'll deal with them later. I have no idea. I have no agenda here. It's not like your parent came and told me, could you say something? Because, man, my kid, no. It's not like that at all. I am on your side. I want your life to go well. You know, some of you are 40 years younger than I am. I'm not going to be here when you're entering into adulthood. And I need to be able to tell you these things now so that you would act upon them and carry them with you and experience the blessing of the Word of God in your life. That's what I want for you. I'm on your side. You get that, right? I'm for you. That's why you're in here. We want you here. Now, 3rd point, consider the warning against laziness. Young people, there is a lethal self-deception that is inherent in your laziness. There is something that is an enemy to your soul in your laziness that I know that you don't recognize right now. And God's Word is here to help us recognize that so that we could separate ourselves from it. And here's what you need to understand. Usually, there are no immediate adverse consequences to your laziness. Nothing bad happens to you immediately because you're lazy one day and lazy the next and lazy the next and procrastinating, I'll do that another time, that kind of thing. Nothing immediately bad happens to you. Your arm doesn't fall off. Your head doesn't swivel around weirdly. Life just goes on, and the next day is kind of like the last day was, even though you were lazy in the midst of it. And here's the thing, and we're all like this. Adults, we're all like this. Because there are no immediate consequences to our laziness, we tend to think that there are no adverse consequences at all. You said, well, nothing bad happened yesterday when I didn't do anything. I won't do anything again today. Nothing bad happened yet. And so I just keep doing that. And so you start to think, well, this doesn't matter. I can be lazy and everything can still be okay. You know what that is? That's not true. That's an utter falsehood. Look at verses 9 and 10. Look at verses 9 and 10, Proverbs 6. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? And then he quotes, as it were, the thinking of a sluggard. Says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. I'm just gonna sleep a little longer. I'm just gonna rest right now. Verse 11. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. I'll give you an easy test. Do you want to know if you're lazy or not? I'll tell you if you're lazy or not. Older people as well. You know how to recognize a lazy person? A lazy person is not the man who says, I will never work, because very few people really speak that way, certainly not in any kind of biblically informed Christian circles. No, the lazy person, oh, this is going to sting like a bee. It's going to sting like a bee, but let it sting. The lazy person is the one who says, not right now. There's a job that needs to be done. Not right now, Mom. A little bit later. One writer said this about that. He says, this lazy person, he does not commit himself to a refusal, but he deceives himself by the smallness of his surrenders. So, by inches and minutes, his opportunity slips away. End quote. You see, it's not the deception. The danger in your soul is not just that stated, outward, complete verbal rebellion that says, I'm never going to work. That's not it. Very few people are like that and are that flagrant about it. What you find is the person says, not right now, maybe tomorrow, maybe later, when there's no good reason not to do it now. Now, here's the thing, my young friends. Each little incident of that kind of laziness, not right now, not right now, may not produce a bad result, and maybe tomorrow you do get to it and do it. Maybe. But here's the thing, and here is the core of everything that you need to be thinking about in the way that you approach your moment-to-moment life. This is at the core of what kind of person you're going to become in this context of what we're talking about. You know what the problem is with those acts of laziness? One act of laziness makes it easier for you to be lazy the next time, and the next time, and the next time. And do you know what individual acts of laziness produce? A lazy character. A lazy character. And so they start to add up. There's this cumulative impact of your moment-by-moment choices that you make. It says, not right now, not right now. And you just, without even being aware of it, you become a lazy person, and a very bad trajectory has been set for your life simply because of the way that you approach things as a youth. Let me give you a little illustration. Anytime I talk anything automotive, you know that I'm stepping outside of my realm of understanding. But I'm going to say something here that I think is pretty true. We have people in the church that could verify this for me later or correct me. Assume that you have a well-maintained car and you keep that car up, but you go on a long trip or things come up and you miss a single oil change. And then you get back to maintaining the car according to schedule. You know, the truth of the matter, that one missed oil change isn't going to ruin that engine. It'll go on and you won't even notice the difference once you catch up with the routine. But you know what? You start missing many oil changes and you go, instead of going 3,000, you go 10, 15, 20, 30,000 miles without an oil change. That will kill your engine little bit by little bit by little bit. And suddenly your car's not working, even though everything seemed to be going along just fine. There's this cumulative impact. For those of you that watch your weight, you could eat a French fry and not have it do you any harm. It's not going to balloon your weight by 20 pounds by having one single French fry. Crispy, golden brown. Yeah, it's not to go there. But if you just start eating handfuls of French fries day after day after day, don't come to any of us and say, why aren't my clothes fitting? There's a cumulative impact to it. Now, here's the thing, beloved, in the context of what we're talking about, one single individual act of laziness, yeah, I get it. It doesn't really affect anything. But that one leads to another one and makes it easier. And you start to just combine these things, and all of a sudden, before you know it, a month's gone by and 6 months have gone by. And all that you really have to show for your life is some tussled bed sheets and nothing, you know, and you haven't produced anything in the interim time. You see, these questions in verse 9 are designed to rouse you out of your laziness and prompt you to act. Look at verse 9 with me again. How long will you lie down? How much sleep do you really need? And then there's this warning that says, verse 11, when you approach life like that, just a little bit more sleep, just another half hour or so, and that's the way that you run your life. Verse 11 says, your poverty will come in like a vagabond, your need like an armed man. Here's what he's saying. And you have the opportunity to avoid this disastrous result if you heed God's word now. What he's doing here is he's personifying poverty. He's acting like poverty, the condition of poverty, is a person, in order to make a point. And he says, if you don't deal with this, what's going to happen is that poverty is going to suddenly burst on your life and you're not going to be in a position to defend it. It's like an armed robber bursts into your house and you don't have any way of defending yourself. And the poverty just takes over and you're not in a position to do anything. Why? Because you have conditioned yourself to be lazy. And by conditioning yourself in that manner, you're now unable to defend yourself and get yourself out of your bad situation. Poverty is an ever-present threat. And the lazy man, listen to me, track with me here. The lazy man is like the man who does not lock his door to keep the robber out. You know from God's word that the robbers are out there. You know that poverty and not having enough is out there, but your laziness is like throwing the door open and saying, come in and dominate my life. Why would you do that? You see, young people, here's the thing. Sooner or later, your laziness and your inaction is going to catch up with you. And when it catches up with you, it's going to be too late to do anything about it. A similar thing has happened in our society with all of the wickedness that's taken over. Just incrementally, step by step by step, it expanded and expanded. And it was never stopped. And for all of the reasons that we could attribute to that, now it's got us in its clutches. And there's really not any human reason to think that it's going to get any better. Why? Because of all of the incremental surrenders that were made over a course of many, many years. Now it has struck and we're in the grasp of it. And there are reasons to think it's going to get worse, not better. But see, here's the thing, old people. What else am I going to call you? Young people versus, what's the opposite of young? Old? I don't know. Old people, what's happened in our society is a result of all of these incremental things, and then suddenly it bursts on the scene. This didn't just happen. There was a whole process that led up to this inability to change things. Young people, sometimes poverty bursts on someone's life, and when you trace it back, you see, you know what? They never held a job. They never tried. They were drunk. They were on drugs. They were doing other things. They preferred to party rather than to work and apply themselves. Well, Scripture says, yeah, that's what happens. Yeah, you're drinking the fruit of your own labor now. Now, let me just say this. Not all poverty is caused by laziness. That's all I'm going to say about that. I get that. Some people are in poverty through no fault of their own. But young people, we're not talking about that with you today. What we're saying is, Scripture tells you laziness leads to poverty. And when it hits, you lack the power to overcome it. And so what do you do then? Knowing that this principle is embedded in God's moral universe, how do you avoid that awful result in the future? In large part, you avoid it by being productive and active today. Moment by moment, hour by hour, making use of your time in productive ways, doing what your boss tells you to do, doing what your parents tell you to do with a happy attitude and responsive and saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and going and doing it, not resisting it just because you want to sit for another 10 minutes. Don't do that. And if you're like that, you need to repent. and reorient the whole direction of your heart in response to God's word. And having said that, recognizing that God tells us this in order to bring about blessing in our lives and in your life. Okay, now I'm going to help you. Final point, point number four, consider the way ahead. Consider the way ahead. We said to consider the Word of God, consider the world of nature, and consider the warning against laziness. Here are some practical suggestions to overcome laziness, not necessarily directly out of Scripture, but consistent with everything that we've talked about here today. Here are some practical suggestions for you to overcome laziness. I'm going to give you five, okay? These are easy. This isn't difficult. Point number one in avoiding, overcoming laziness, point number one, it's pretty complicated. So I just need to prepare you for that. There's a lot of technical Greek in what I'm about to say here, technical Hebrew, since we're in the Old Testament. Point number one, you ready? Get up. Yeah, that's it. Get up! There's a place for you to sleep. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12 says, the sleep of the working man is pleasant. But young people, when your sleep is over and you've gotten the sleep that you need, get up, get out of bed. You can't work if you don't get up. Am I making this too complicated? Hope not. Get up. That's the first thing. Here's how you overcome laziness. Start by getting out of bed and not laying in bed all day. Secondly, take out the garbage. Yeah, it's really this simple. Take out the garbage. Go into your room and look and see if there is order or disorder in your room. Is there dirty laundry piled up? Have you got garbage, trash piled up all around? All kinds of disorder? Well, if you're serious about overcoming laziness, start there. Start in that little realm of in which you live and say, at least I'll put this into order. And so, take out the garbage. Clean the place up. Even better yet, taking out the garbage is, I know you're taking that literally because that's the way that I've presented it. But to take out the garbage also has the sense of get away from the things that are making unproductive use of your time. Get the garbage of bad habits out of your life and say, this does nothing to do anything productive. I'm getting rid of it. I'll stop doing that and I'll do something else instead. Take out the garbage of wasted time and replace it with something productive. Thirdly, you with me? Get up and take out the garbage. I can't make it any more practical than that, I don't think. Thirdly, and here's something that's really helpful. This has made a big, big difference in my own life. Finish what you've started. Finish what you've started. Look at your life. Old people, you do the same thing. Look at your life and look at the useful things that you started but left unfinished. You walked away from a good project for whatever reason. You started a book, but you didn't finish it. Well, to overcome laziness, go back to that point of departure where you had something good going and you left it for whatever reason. Go back to that point where you departed and finish it. Take what good impulse started, but for some reason commitment did not complete. So get up, take out the garbage, finish what you started. Fourthly, start something new. Are there useful things that you know could be done, but you've shied away from them because it seems like it's too big? It'll take too long. Here's the thing. Part of overcoming laziness, and remember, it's not about the project per se. We're talking about a bigger character issue. The bigger character issue is what we're after, and we're just finding ways to cultivate that character. And so if there's something really worthwhile, but it's a big project and this will take a long time, start it. And apply yourself day by day by day. Don't look for, I'm going to do 6 hours of really great work. Just be faithful in the moment by moment opportunity that you have. Little by little, being faithful on those big projects will cultivate the character that you need to be diligent and to act accordingly. Point number five, repeat. Do it again. See, it's all about consistency and perseverance in doing it. And so once, you know, you walk out, maybe today, tomorrow, you get up, you take out the garbage, as it were, you finish what you started, you start something new. Next day, do the same thing again. The next day, do the same thing again. Remember what Jesus said, "He who is faithful in a little will be faithful in much." And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to be in a position of fruitful service to Him somewhere down your road, friends, understand that that just doesn't just drop into somebody's life. It is the overflow. It is the outworking of a step-by-step quiet faithfulness when no one's watching. It comes to a character of one who says, "I don't care if the world is watching. And I don't care if I ever do great things. It'd be nice if I did, but I don't care if I ever do great things, hard things." The hard thing for you, the really hard thing for a person to do, what's really noble in hard things, is to say, "I'm going to submit myself to the Spirit of God and exercise a spirit of self-discipline in my life day by day by day and let the Lord lead that where He would take it to go." Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so, young people, we've talked in broad principles here, hopefully enough to get you going in the right direction. Ask your loving mom or dad, "What do you see that I could do better?" Humble yourself under this, because the instruction of God's Word will lead you to good things if you follow it day by day. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we started the message, we emphasized that everything starts with taking up your cross, denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following after Christ. We don't want to lose sight of that. Father, some of these young people need to be saved. Father, I pray that your Spirit would bring the Lord Jesus Christ so clearly to their mind, and that perhaps something convicting that was said today would cause them to recognize their sin and turn from it and receive Christ for salvation. We would love that to take place. Father, for those who are young believers in Christ, just starting out on life and the horizons are all ahead, God, be gracious to them and work the spirit of industry and self-discipline into their lives so that they wouldn't squander it with all of the distractions that come from inside their own hearts and that are continually offered to them by the world. Be gracious to them, Father. And Father, it's not that we don't want great things to happen in the lives. We just don't want to bypass simple faithfulness for the sake of someone flattering us about great things. That doesn't mean anything if we're not faithful in the little things. Jesus commended those who gave a cup of water to His disciples who went to visit someone that was sick or in prison and said, "When you did that, you did it for me," even when there were no lights shining, no cameras rolling, no one knew about it. Father, help us to be those kinds of faithful Christians today and going forward. Father, order their steps so that without fail, each one under the sound of this word would enter safely into your heavenly kingdom one day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the message Pastor Don Green has concluded today on the Truth Pulpit, we've received practical steps to overcome laziness, and we've also been reminded that working as unto the Lord is not a curse, but a blessing to ourselves and to others. And Don, the proverb, idle hands are the devil's workshop, makes a whole lot more sense after what we've heard today.
You know, my friend, as you listen to teaching like we've had today on the Truth Pulpit, I would just have you think about this, that Scripture is repeatedly calling you to embrace an entire way of thinking about life. We should aim to have productive days as a grateful response to the Christ who saved us. Let me encourage you to take that thought, expand it out, and ask yourself this question. How can I use the remainder of my life productively for Christ and His kingdom? The only true meaning in your life is going to come by handing it over to the purposes of Christ. God bless you.
Thanks, Don. And friend, as always, don't forget to visit thetruthpulpit.com. There you'll find out more about our ministry. Once again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit with Don Green.